This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Mark Masella.
And I'm Margaret Flinter.
Margaret, today let's spend some time looking at healthcare reform waivers. They seem to be at the center of the debate in Washington. Now, there are a few different waiver options floating around out there. Let's start with the latest, though, the state innovation waiver, which was endorsed by President Obama earlier this month.
Well, Mark, this debate reminds me that we are coming up on the one-year anniversary of the enactment of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and who would have thought there'd be as much debate a year later as there was when it was initially debated and then signed into law. This state innovation waiver has been anything but bipartisan since President Obama first voiced his support for it as a way to give states more flexibility with the law and hopefully make it more appealing to them.
The waiver would allow states to opt out of some of the law requirements in 2014 instead of 2017. This would apply not only to individual mandate, but to the structure of the health benefit exchanges, what benefit health plans should include, and cost-sharing standards. What's not up for grabs, though, are the consumer protections in the law. One of those is the ban on denying people coverage because of pre-existing condition.
Right. And that last one, the ban on denying coverage for pre-existing conditions, is just so central to so many other elements of the law. Now, Republicans are calling the waiver pointless because, they say, the federal government would keep control over the basic elements of the overhaul that the GOP says are just not workable. And the Department of Health has just issued a rule on the waiver. They say that in each application from a state, they have got to explain how its own plan will meet the goals of coverage expansion, affordability, comprehensiveness of coverage, and lower costs. And they're not just taking their word on it. The HHS will mandate quarterly reports from the states with an economic analysis, and I'm betting a quality analysis as well. Now, Mark, you mentioned that there were other types of waivers as well.
There are. One is over medical loss ratio, which requires insurers to spend 80 cents on a dollar on medical cost, a waiver on the maintenance of effort provisions barring states from dropping Medicaid eligibility before the program expansion in 2014, and the so-called mini-med waivers, which would allow companies to cap their annual payouts at lower levels than dictated by law.
And I think, Mark, we may need to spend a little time on a future show talking about those mini-med waivers. Mm-hmm. You know, HHS has now approved about 1,000 requests for mini-med waivers, which is more than I had kept track of. And Republicans are citing this as evidence that the law doesn't work. And they've also accused the administration of rewarding special interest groups with these mini-med waivers.
Well, I think you're right. Let's take a look at that in another show. But today, our guest can certainly speak to setting high goals for healthcare reform. Dr. Gary Kaplan, president and CEO of the Virginia Mason Medical Center in Seattle, Washington, joins us today. Dr. Kaplan has been the force behind Virginia Mason's transformation into a healthcare delivery system, you know, which we talk about so much on this show, transforming and improving quality and safety. And he's been able to do it simultaneously with reducing cost.
And Virginia Mason credits these goals to the Virginia Mason production system, which is based on Japan's Toyota production system, a manufacturing approach that Toyota has used for more than 50 years. In mentioning Toyota, of course, we have to stop for a moment and send our thoughts and prayers to the people of Japan in wake of the devastating earthquake and tsunami there over the weekend. Certainly our thoughts and prayers to everybody affected and to those involved with the recovery efforts as well.
Our thoughts and prayers are with them all. But no matter what the story, you can hear all of our shows on our website, chcradio.com. You can subscribe to iTunes to get our show regularly downloaded. Or if you'd like to hang on to our every word and read a transcript of one of our shows, come visit us at chcradio.com. You can become a fan of Conversations on Healthcare on Facebook and also follow us on Twitter.
And as always, if you have feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at chcradio.com. Before we speak with Dr. Kaplan, let's check in with our producer, Lauren Bonner, for the headline news.
I'm Lauren Bonner with this week's headline news. The Justice Department has filed a memo with the Supreme Court saying it should not permit Virginia to sidestep a federal appeals court in the state's challenge to the health care law. Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli wants to send the case that struck down the individual mandate directly to the Supreme Court, therefore bypassing the appeals court. But the federal government says there's no reason to take the extremely rare step of a short-circuit review by appellate judges, since the process has already been accelerated. The Institute of Medicine wrapped up its first meeting to decide what should be considered an essential benefit in the healthcare law. The Department of Health has directed the IOM with crafting preliminary guidelines on essential benefits, which are required under federal reform. The definition the IOM comes up with will have direct implications on the kind of health insurance coverage available through the state-based insurance exchanges that will be up and running in 2014. All Medicaid programs will also cover these services in 2014. The health reform law lists 10 categories that HHS must include as essential, such as prescription drug coverage and emergency hospitalizations. But HHS has broad discretion within those categories to require generous coverage or allow limits. The definition of essential benefits is also something governors in states across the country are paying close attention to. For many, it will determine whether they will set up their own health insurance exchange or let the federal government run it for them. The IOM is expected to release its report this fall, and HHS will follow up with a proposed outline of benefits before the end of the year. Patient Safety Awareness Week completed its 9th annual awareness campaign for healthcare safety. As in years past, the message patient safety advocates want to convey is the need to empower patients and strengthen patient-provider communication. The Ask Me 3 campaign has been an integral part of this effort. This health literacy initiative is designed to assist with communication between patients and providers through the use of three basic questions. What is my main problem? What do I need to do? And why is it important for me to do this? It's a quick and effective tool and has been proven to decrease and prevent medical errors, as well as improve the way patients manage a chronic health condition. Interested listeners can visit npsf.org to learn more.
This is Conversations on Healthcare. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Gary Kaplan, Chairman and CEO of the Virginia Mason Medical Center in Seattle, Washington. Dr. Kaplan is the force behind Virginia Mason's 10-year journey to transform itself into a healthcare delivery system based on quality, efficiency, safety, and foremost, the patient. Welcome, Dr. Kaplan.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
You recognize the urgent need for change and innovation at Virginia Mason. This sent you on a mission to completely transform Virginia Mason into a system that was driven not by finances, but by quality. The journey began with the Virginia Mason production system, adopting the Toyota production system, a manufacturing approach Toyota has used for more than 50 years. What Toyota production system principles and practices are most important to you, and how did you adapt them to healthcare?
Well, I think that as we looked in healthcare for a management system that would help us achieve our organizational aspirations and our vision of really becoming the quality leader in the safest hospital in America, safest health system in America, we didn't really find an answer in healthcare. And so our specifications, you know, what we were really focused on was changing the paradigm from provider or as customer to patient as customer, patient as the center and really the true north. And in Toyota, we saw a company that was relentlessly focused on the customer. We also saw a company that was very, very focused on quality and safety. That was the, how they defined their work, how the, what they prided themselves in. That was what we were looking for. In addition, the people closest to the work are the ones that improve the work. And as we've increasingly learned in our journey over the last 10 years and even before, the people in healthcare that are actually most knowledgeable about our processes, if we really want to dramatically change and improve our processes and eliminate waste, it's the content experts are the people closest to the work. And so many of the basic approaches of the Toyota production system were what we were looking for here at Virginia Mason.
Well, Dr. Kaplan, I'd like to focus on safety perhaps for a moment. The Virginia Mason production system really presented a new way to institute patient safety programs, and your patient safety alert system, inspired by the Toyota Stop the Line practice,
right,
seems to have been very successful. You've been ranked by Health Grades in the top 5% in the nation in patient safety for the past 2 years. Can you maybe briefly take us through how this system works for your care teams, the kind of changes it's brought to the everyday practice and culture, and also if you could maybe comment on how transparent you are with consumers about safety. There's certainly a lot of debate around that across the country, how much of that should be made public. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Right. We're very clear about the importance of transparency in everything we do. And on our very first of what have now been 11 trips to Japan, we saw at Toyota their Stop the Line. And in healthcare, what we've done around quality assurance is it's been retrospective quality assurance, where a month or 2 months after the fact, we will evaluate charts, look for patterns, look for processes and systems that could be improved, and we'll go back and fix it. In the meantime, how many have we potentially harmed because of faulty processes and systems? And so when we saw at Toyota what I would call real-time quality assurance, every one of those 350 workers making over 1,000 cars a day was empowered to actually stop the factory. We said, we want that for our patients. We want that for our staff. And so we came home and we declared the patient safety alert system as an integral part of the Virginia Mason production system. We said we want and expect and will help every staff member be a safety inspector. We would like them to be able to report promptly. And as a commitment, the senior executive leadership will respond 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to begin the root cause analysis process. Since September 2002, we've had over 20,000 patient safety alerts. They encompass everything from near misses to seemingly simple quality incident reports to serious harm. Over the course of the last decade, we have really embraced disclosure, a policy, apology, transparency. While doing this, we've seen our professional liability premiums cut by more than half over the last 6 years. And I think the result has been the culture has evolved so that it's not a culture where we ignore or cover up, or not that we ever really had that in a big way here at Virginia Mason, but that it's really a culture about everybody's job is to make everybody better.
Obviously, your staff looms large in your whole process improvement. And in our community health center, we're very engaged in the sort of redesign of the primary care system, and staff play an important role. Let's focus a little on the role nurses play in your system, and what's new and improved that you've developed with your nursing staff, and how have nurses also been leaders in the transformation of care at Virginia Mason?
Let me just start by saying the Virginia Mason production system is everybody's work. So it's physician work, nurse work, pharmacy work, staff work, leadership work at all levels of the organization. And so our nursing staff specifically have been very intimately involved in this work. Two examples I would point to would be our intensive outpatient program that was work we did with the Boeing company. Coming to understand, as many are, that primary care is really a team sport, that all healthcare is a team sport, really, and that it requires everybody performing at the top of their skill set as team members, and that embracing the role of nurse case managers can dramatically improve quality, safety, and reduce costs. And we have results that demonstrate whereas Boeing went out looking for a 15% reduction in costs and improvement in satisfaction for their sickest cohort of employees, we were able to reduce their costs 33% with very high levels of patient satisfaction, predominantly because of the work the nurses were doing as critical components and really the glue of the care delivery team on the ambulatory side. In inpatient nursing care, one of the things we've came to realize that our nurses were spending between 60 and 70% of their time in indirect care, doing things that they weren't trained. And when you actually analyze the work, you realize why nurses have not, why nurses in this country, you know, have not been particularly satisfied with their with how their work has evolved. And so by redesigning work using rapid cycle improvement workshops, rapid process improvement workshops, we call them, led by nurses and frontline care teams, our nurses are now spending 90% of their time at the bedside. They do their bedside handoffs. in the rooms. The nursing stations will soon become extinct, and what's happening is the patients and their families no longer have to push the call lights because the nurses are co-located right at the bedside, or in a what we would call a geographic cell. All work that's been designed by nurses to improve their ability to deliver patient care.
Well, that sounds like a major transformation that you've been able to execute. And I think I've read that you also remained committed to practicing as a primary care physician yourself on some part of your busy schedule. You know, the savings in costs is certainly something that was debated widely during the health reform debates, right? Can you really affect cost? And you've certainly shown that you have. Beyond that, the kind of upstream prevention and intervention efforts that primary care can make, you've shown a downstream impact on costs. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that translates into something that our listeners can get their arms around beyond just cost? What kind of downstream changes have you seen? We think of things like reduction in lower limb amputations when diabetics are better controlled. But do you have any data on those kind of downstream impacts from that improved primary care system?
I think that most of it is inferential. I think that you're exactly right. I think what we're finding, actually, and what the Virginia Mason Production System is all about, is that the pathway to higher quality, safer care is also the pathway to lower cost. And the lower costs are both in the processes of care and patients returning to work and full function more rapidly, but then and also in avoiding complications that come with lack of comprehensive care. And there's a lot of evidence that's emerging in, you know, metabolic syndrome, lipid management, diabetic control, that shows that if you do get better preventive care, better results, and better an early diagnosis where appropriate using evidence-based approaches, that you can prevent a lot of morbidity, a lot of patient family suffering, and do so at a lower cost. So I think we're seeing that as a result of our work. We don't have enough longitudinal data to, you know, make a major contribution to the literature yet on that.
This is Conversations in Healthcare Today. We're speaking with Dr. Gary Kaplan, CEO of the Virginia Mason Healthcare System. Virginia Mason has been able to demonstrate cost savings through improved quality. To walk us through the story that Virginia Mason had, experience it had with Starbucks.
Sure. It's
obviously, you have a system that's very adaptive and responsive to the changing needs of the business community and their employees' needs. I'd like to hear that story.
That story was an early story in the journey of our work with what we call our marketplace collaboratives. And what we have come to learn is that if we really want to directly impact the quality and patient experience and cost that members of the workforce for a particular company have, we have to partner. We have to partner with that company, and we have to partner potentially with their health plan. And so Starbucks, a very forward-thinking company, provided health insurance to all of their baristas, but also very concerned about their cost. And so they came to understand through their data that back pain was the number one problem for their workforce, and that that was the number one cause of time out of work. And so by what we call analyzing the value stream, looking at all of the steps of the care process for patients with back pain, we also found out that a very high proportion of these patients with back pain for more than a few days were getting an MRI scan. And by redesigning care, we realized that just a small fraction of these MRIs were actually necessary. The result was dramatic reduction in costs for Starbucks. It also showed us that the only profitable area in spine care up to that point was MRIs. Mm-hmm. But by eliminating the wasted MRI, we didn't have to buy a new MRI machine so quickly. We could be much more judicious in our use of precious resources. And actually, it turned out to be a win-win for Starbucks, their patient, their workforce, and for Virginia Mason. We've now taken that principle, and we're partnering with companies across the country, most recently with Intel, but also other companies, to demonstrate other marketplace collaborative opportunities. When you just sit down together and examine the work and align all of the stakeholders, it's can have dramatic results.
Dr. Kaplan, I understand you're nearing completion of what might be called the first hospital in the country that's being built from the ground up on the foundation of patient-centered principles. And that's certainly a subject near and dear to our hearts as we are doing a number of building projects along the patient-centered medical home.
Sure.
What would staff, patients, visitors experience that's different in a hospital that's built from the ground up along those principles?
This became much more of a patient, family, and staff-driven project with some help from our architects. And what we anticipate patient experience will be, and where we've done this on a project basis and elsewhere in our medical center, you know, like our cancer unit, we found that patients are in flow, much less waiting, much shorter walking distance, that staff are working in an environment where it's actually more difficult to make a mistake. You know, we all make human errors, but by designing the environment of care such that's conducive to staff doing their very best work, it becomes much safer. So a variety of things of that sort. Yes, there's also amenities and work on what is conducive to a healing process, use of light and other facility attributes. But it's really about creating flow. It's about minimizing waiting, minimizing stopping, and creating zones within the hospital so that the work takes place outside of the patient care zone.
Well, that is exciting. We'll keep an eye on that, certainly, Forum Falls Function, and it's an exciting transformation with obviously the help of some very good architects. But,
right,
you know,
absolutely.
One of the things that we like to ask our guests, and you in particular, because you are at a transformational organization, who are you keeping your eye on in terms of innovation around the country and around the world?
Institute for Healthcare Improvement, National Patient Safety Foundation, Evolution Leap Institute are all organizations that are really pushing the envelope around culture change, around moving upstream and quality and training into the medical schools and residencies, the triple aim, looking at our community and population health.
Today, we've been speaking with Dr. Gary Kaplan, CEO of the Virginia Mason Healthcare System. Dr. Kaplan, thank you so much for joining us today on Conversations.
Well, my pleasure.
Each week, Conversations highlights a bright idea about how to make wellness a part of our communities and everyday lives. This week's bright idea harkens back to the ancient tradition of storytelling, which today is being more widely recognized in the clinical settings to improve patients' health. Storytelling has been studied as a means of educating at-risk patients on medical issues such as smoking and breast cancer screening, but research on its effects in the clinical setting has remained relatively scarce. Dr. Thomas Houston of the University of Massachusetts Medical School and the VA Medical Center in Bedford has been working to change that. One recent study he led, published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, has been particularly influential. The trial examined the effects of storytelling on roughly 300 African-American patients with high blood pressure. Results showed that the group of patients who listened to personal narratives were able to achieve and maintain a drop in blood pressure just as significant as has been for patients taking blood pressure medication. The evidence suggests that when patients struggle with chronic diseases like diabetes or blood pressure, which oftentimes presents few obvious or immediate symptoms, stories can help them realize the importance of the disease. Stories can also help listeners make meaning of their lives. Dr. Houston has not only been leading studies that examine storytelling in patient care, but he's also been trying to find ways where it can be best integrated. One idea he's testing is a website where doctors would match up their patients to videos of similar patients recounting their own experiences with the same disease. A simple yet powerful tool for doctors and patients that can be brought into the medical settings in new and innovative ways to improve patients' health. Now that's a bright idea.
This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Margaret Flinter.
And I'm Mark Maselli. Peace and health.
Conversations on Healthcare, broadcast from the campus of Wesleyan University at WESU, streaming live at WESUFM.org, and brought to you by the Community Health Center.